I do want to take a moment out and welcome you to the Free Speech Zone this morning, a public affairs presentation of these two radio stations where we do our best to provide you fact and opinion for you to consider as you go about your busy day in your life. Well, Twister listeners, this morning I have the opportunity to visit with a lovely young lady. Megan Ryman from Hay Springs, Nebraska, has dropped by the studio. She's a local author, and we're going to visit about horses just a little bit here this morning. Megan, greetings to you, young lady. Delight. It's just a delight to have you in the studios.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's like I say, it's my pleasure. And Megan, you know, I'm learning more about you as time goes on. I know your husband well, have known him for a number of years, and I think the world of Laro Ryman. But plain and simple, I had no idea until just recently that you were a horsewoman.
I am. I've had horses all my life. From the time I was a very tiny child, my mom would set my car seat on the roof of the car, get on, and then ride over and pick me up.
That's great. Well, I am delighted, and like I say, I am learning more about you as time goes on here, and I had no idea you were an author. I'm holding a book in my hand that says Understanding Horse Whirls. Am I saying that right?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, you know, and I can't talk intelligently about this subject at all. I mean, we've all seen, I call them the cow lick, many times kind of between a horse's eyes and up near their foretop there. And I dealt with a cow lick myself as a kid. I can remember how that went. And it's like, this sucker just stands up, you know. But anyway, help me comprehend what you're talking about here. This is a great picture book, and you've got all kinds of explanations in here, and obviously every horse man and every horse woman in the listening audience ought to have a copy of this. But tell me about this book, and tell me about on the cover, the first thing we've got to look at here. I see the title of the book, and then there's a name down at the bottom, but it's not your name.
No, it's not my name. I got on Facebook by accident a long time ago as Noche Miller, and okay. I started training with an online trick training course as Noche Miller, and so when I wrote the book, I stuck with Noche Miller. Okay. It's nice not to have everybody know exactly who you are.
Okay. Well, I can appreciate that. All right. Help me understand the book here. What all are we talking about? What does this have to do with you know, the disposition of a horse?
Well, horse whirls, swirls, cow licks, whatever you want to call them, develop on the horse in the fetus as the skin is growing, as the brain is growing, as the muscle is developing. And so they're all very closely interrelated. As the brain grows, the cow lick forms in relation to how the brain is growing. As the body grows, the swirls form in relation to how the muscle is growing. So we can look at whirls on the head and tell temperament, and then we can look at whirls across the entire body and tell how they're going to move, what they're going to be capable of doing. Sometimes horses will have a whirl on one side of the body, but not the other, right. And that'll make them tight around the whirl. So if there's a whirl on the right side, they'll be softer to the right and
really?
Be stiff turning to the left. Yes.
Interesting.
I think so.
And how did you figure all of that out?
Well, I've heard about this forever. I remember back in the 90s sitting around a campfire out camping with our horses, reading an article in Horse and Rider or something about it, and it was talking about double world horses being neurotic, and we looked over at the double world horse tied to the trailer like acting crazily,
right?
And thought, oh wow, look at that. So then all through my 20s I trained horses for the public, and horses would come in. There was an Arab cross, an own son of Smart Little Lena, I think it was.
Okay.
Very nicely bred reining horse. But his flank whirls, one of them came like clear up to his backbone, and the other one only came partway up his side. And he was crazy, to put it kindly.
Right.
He was completely unbalanced. He'd be going along fine and then just explode for no apparent reason. But the more you get into this, he was exploding because he was so unbalanced through his body. He would scare himself, catch himself, and then go shooting forward.
Well, I'll be darned.
And so noticing horses like that...
So was there a fix for this issue?
No.
No?
Careful training. He'll never be able to perform as he was expected and hoped to in the reining arena. But if we spend lots of time with him, help him learn how to carry his hind end and not scare himself so badly all the time, he can be a decent horse still.
Sure.
It's all, there are no bad whirls, except that one. That's about as close to a bad whirl as it gets. But there are no bad whirls, just different ways that we need to train.
Okay, so what you're telling me, and I'm reading between the lines, and I may end up sounding really stupid here, and that comes pretty handily and easily for me anyway, but so are you telling me when you look at these whirls on these horses, I mean, when obviously they have them since birth, but I mean, can you look at a colt and give a pretty good idea on a baby colt what kind of disposition this horse is going to have?
Yes.
As an adult?
Yes. There is, of course, nature versus nurture. The way we handle the horse will completely change the effect the whirls have. They will still behave the same basic way according to the whirl, but we can change how that expresses itself.
Okay. So, all right. So you're going to a horse sale and you're, is this, obviously this is something that a buyer needs to be looking at.
I think so. Actually, after I leave here, I'm headed south to Shear Quarter Horses to take a look at some of hers.
Uh-huh.
I believe everybody should have a basic whirl analysis along with a pre-purchase exam when they're looking at horses. I mean, why not know these things ahead of time?
Right.
Instead of getting one home and discovering they're not going to be able to do what you want.
Okay. Is there any specific kind of whirl that a person should be looking for?
No, there's not. There is no bad whirl. There also is no good whirl. Everybody likes a different type of whirl. I like double whirls. They're complicated. They're difficult. If they're handled badly, they're crazy.
Okay, double whirls. Now, is this anywhere on the body or is this on the
face? This is on the forehead. There's two different types of double whirls. They can either be stacked, one on top of the other, or side by side. And those each have different meanings. A stacked double whirl will have two different personalities. They'll be both, say, spooky and crazy and quiet and easygoing, and they switch back and forth between them, which makes sense if you have one. It sounds crazy trying to explain it.
I can hear some guy out there right now thinking, yeah, that reminds me of my first wife, you know.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I had a horse like that. Right. I remember that. I mean, we can see completely different traits in the whirls, and that doesn't mean that the same horse can't be both crazy and completely dependable. And and it doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. I've had really, really good horses, great cow horses, who had double stacked whirls. You just couldn't beat on them. You couldn't yank on them. You had to let them be them.
Okay, so what you're telling me here is, some of these horses are bipolar.
Yes, I am.
And then you have the schizophrenic ones, too.
Well, yes.
Possibly, I don't know.
You do. A high whirl is going to be very sensitive and emotional. And they can be the sweetest, most loving horse and try as hard as they can if you're nice to them. And if you aren't nice to them, if you expect them to act in a way that they're not capable of, they'll be terrified of everything and hardly manageable. It's all in how you handle them.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to look at my own horses. You know, I've got three horses, three saddle horses, and one of them is a pretty good rope horse. The other one, actually, I bought from a friend of Verla Scherer's here a number of years ago, and I just think the world of that Red Roan gelding. He's got tremendous amount of go in him. He's a horse that you can walk out in the pasture to, and you can catch him in the pasture. And then I've got another horse I call Number Seven that's just quite a horse, I'll be honest with you, and Shadbolts did the training on that horse for me, I'll be honest with you. But the hardest sucker to catch that there is. You know, once you get the horse caught, that mare will do what you ask her. She's a good mare. And Keith Bostock has ridden her a lot and used her at the sale barn and so forth. But anyway, you know, like I say, they're all a little different, but I've never paid any attention to this whirl business.
Well, I have a lot of people who say, oh, that's just silly. You know, nobody really pays attention to that. But there are so many old cowboy stories.
Uh-huh.
That's where we get a lot of the whirl lore from to start with. And then you start applying it and paying attention and seeing how it works and applying the science that goes with it. And there's been lots of studies. There's lots of science behind this. This isn't just old wives' tales and silly superstitions.
Right.
Temple Grandin has done quite a few studies on cattle because cattle have whirls too.
Right.
Any animal with hair is going to have a whirl. And any animal that has a hair, that has a whirl, we're going to be able to tell about them from the whirl. We don't know what we can tell exactly yet. I mean, I don't know anything about goat whirls.
Right.
But no. Cow whirls, there's been a lot of looking into. Temple Grandin's done a lot of studies. She, because all cattle are basically untrained, unlike horses.
Right.
We don't have the human influence on them. So you can run a whole herd of cows through a chute. What Temple did is rate how they were acted in the chute. If they fought, if they stood quietly, how they went. And then they looked at the whirls.
Uh-huh.
And the cows with high whirls fought in the chute. The cows with central whirls were basically fine. And low whirls were fine, too. But low whirls will be like herd quitters, and they don't handle as well.
I see.
But that doesn't mean a high whirl is bad. Cattle with high whirls are less likely to lose their calves to predators than cattle with low whirls.
Okay, Mitch just handed me a question, and I missed the tail end of what you were saying there, and someone out there listening in is complaining at me, and I can appreciate that, and I thank you very kindly for your call here. It says, you interrupted her before she could explain the side-by-side whirl. Can you ask her about it again? So we're doing that.
Yes, side-by-side whirl, as opposed to stacked double whirls.
Uh-huh.
These horses can be an absolute superpower. They can focus and concentrate so hard. I have one at home. He's uh-huh. he's my boy. He's a good boy.
Uh-huh.
They can really focus. They can really do anything you want. They're not scared of anything. They're brave. They're also sensitive. You get both right and left brain. Uh-huh. Right brain is sensitive, emotional. Left brain is logic, thinking things through clearly, right. Brave, friendly, confident. So you get both of those together. You get a brave, confident horse who's also sensitive and reactive. So they can move quickly off cues, but they also aren't going to be scared. If you don't listen to them, if you don't acknowledge their intelligence, they'll also be a right. little difficult to handle.
Right.
Double whirls just make for lots of extra horse. You get a lot of horse for your buck.
Wonderful. And I'm assuming all of that is brought out in your book here.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Sure.
Probably too much. It's my favorite thing to talk about.
Well, good. Okay, for people out there that would be interested in having your book, how do they acquire it?
Well, my book is available on Amazon. It's Understanding Horse Whirls by Noche Miller, who is me.
Uh-huh.
And yes, if you just look for that on Amazon, you can get it in paper form or on Kindle. We have a couple of Facebook pages that also talk about horse whirls. There's Equine Swirls Whirl Study and the Horse Whirl Forum. And on those, you can post your horses, and we will look at them and discuss whirls. It's a lot of fun.
Good enough. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the book is Understanding Horse Whirls by Noche Miller. That's Noche Miller, and Noche Miller is Megan Ryman, and she's the young lady that you're listening to on the airwaves right now. And again, the title of the book is Understanding Horse Whirls, and as she mentioned, you can get the book itself, or you can do it on Kindle too, right?
Yes, you can. And don't let the title fool you. We also look at head shape and that sort of thing. Everything about the outside of the horse can tell us what's going on inside.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're getting deeper here. Carry on, young lady.
Well, the most basic is the difference between a quarter horse head and an Arab head.
Right.
Quarter horses have there is a basic quarter horse head. The more you look at them, there is one head type that you can generally recognize as quarter horse. It's got a very straight profile. That means looking at it from the side, the nose bone is very straight, and that means a steady, dependable horse. Very large jowls, large cheeks.
Right.
Those show a lot of athleticism. They'll be able to get enough air to work as hard as you need them to. They won't run out of air, get tired, and quit. But on the other hand, if we look at an Arab, which I love, I'm not saying anything bad about them, just different.
Right.
They breed for a very dish nose, and that means sensitive and emotional.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen those horses, and I don't like the looks of them at all.
I have one at home that I like very much, but she doesn't have an overly dish nose.
I dated a gal like that years and years ago when I was a kid, but enough of that. There's something about that dish face that just doesn't, on a horse that, to my own way of thinking, when it comes to that part of their conformation, I just don't care for it.
Personally, I prefer a big Roman nose, great big Roman nose, which means tough, dependable, and determined or you know, stubborn.
Right.
But, so the quarter horses are known for being basically steady. Hancocks, in general, have a different head shape.
Uh-huh.
They tend to have more whirls and a bump between the eyes, which also shows quirky. So that always amuses me that Hancocks have their own head type. But completely lost where I was going there.
Well, again, the thing that you listeners need to comprehend, you horse people out there, this book is available to you, Understanding Horse Whirls, and, of course, the opportunity to visit in person, either face-to-face or via the telephone with the author of the book. She lives right here in Sheridan County, Megan Ryman, and, of course, she's pretty easy to catch up with. I would assume you have a Facebook page.
I do. The Whirl pages are my Facebook page relating to this. Horse Whirl Forum and Equine Swirls Whirls. I am on Facebook as Noche Miller.
Okay.
And I have my horse training page, which is Rescuing Rusty, who is my double whirl horse.
I see. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Obviously, you've been involved in this, in the world of horses, literally, from the time you were a little girl on. And I'm assuming you're still training horses. Do you do this commercially?
I do. I work with an online trick training course called Horse Tricks Academy. We are online, too, as Horse Tricks 101 on Facebook or the website. We teach tricks. I get to work with people from all over the world and teach them how to teach their horse to do all sorts of fun tricks, like smile, hug, kiss. My horse, my double whirl horse, can rope. Like, literally, by himself. I swing the loop, hand him the rope, he hooks it over the dummy.
We really?
We did rope our pet cow one time. But in general, we stick to dummies.
Uh-huh, I understand.
And he helps me hang laundry out, and he can fetch. Fetch is his favorite trick. That's how we got into tricks in the first place. When I got him, he was a problem horse. Big time problem horse. He would run you over, which double side-by-side whirls will definitely do. I mean, like, literally run you over. Uh-huh. I'd trained horses my whole life. I thought I could deal with him. Uh-huh. And when he got there, I couldn't. You can't round pin him. He just says no.
I'll be darned.
And so I ran into a lady who was teaching her horse fetch. And I thought, well, my horse bites anything that gets close to him. Why not put it to good use?
Right.
So that was how I found the Horse Tricks Academy. And we use positive reinforcement to train. That's where you offer a reward when you see the behavior you want.
Right.
And it really is extremely effective. By feeding him treats, I taught him not to bite anymore. And took him from being dangerous running grown-ups over to the one I'm very comfortable with my children walking under and riding.
Well, I'll be darned.
It worked wonders without any round pinning, without any punishment of any sort, because he just said no to that. Right. He wasn't interested.
Well, you know, this whole horse world thing has changed so much down through the long ages of history. And I'm no kid anymore, but I'm going to take you back to when I was a kid. And my father broke a lot of horses, I'll be honest with you. But in those days, I can remember him grabbing his throw rope, rope a horse out of the horses that were in the corral there. And it was a pretty good-sized corral. And they went to a snubbing post, you know, and you know how the rest of it worked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he saddled up the horse and he screwed it down tight. And that mm-hmm. was just a single rig, if you will. And it was open the gate, and he just rode him out the gate. And I'm sure that he got bucked off a time or two. I never saw that myself. I just saw him ride, and he rode some pretty rank horses, and he just bucked him out, you know, and that's the way things were done. But and then there was a man in this country years ago, and, of course, again, that's not a world that I live in, but I watched a guy, Steve Harris, was in town here years ago, and he put on kind of a clinic out at the fairgrounds there and set up a round pen. And I watched him take some horses, you know, they weren't even green. I mean, they were just no minds, if you will. And within an hour, he was saddled up and riding them, you know, and I was impressed. You know, it was an altogether different deal than what I'd ever witnessed. But, you know, there's a lot of technology that gets involved anymore. And, of course, this horse world thing. Now, maybe some of the old-timers were familiar with that back in the day. I have no idea, because this is the first time I've ever heard about this.
This definitely old-timers were involved. Most of the old, a lot of the old horse lore that we get is from the old cowboys.
Is it?
Yes, it's been passed down. They rode a lot. They paid attention to their horses. They noticed similarities. When they had a crazy horse, they looked at the whirl and said, oh, look, this one has a crazy horse. This crazy horse has a whirl, and this crazy horse has this whirl. And they looked at the next horse to see if it had that same whirl.
Right.
Passed it up if it did, probably. But yeah, one old piece of cowboy lore was, if there's a whirl in the chest means lots of woe, and whirl in the hindquarters means lots of go. And That definitely holds true.
Really?
Well, yes, it does in large part.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, like I say, I'm not familiar enough with the subject matter, to be real honest with you, Megan, to even ask you intelligent questions. But obviously, I need to sit down and read your book here, and we need to visit again. I'll be real frank with you. And, of course, there are horsemen and women in the listening audience that are well aware of the subject matter here this morning. And I'll just tell you people ahead of time, and I should have said this early on, if you have any specific questions, you give us a jingle and do it here quickly because my time with Megan is about to come to an end. But by the same token, if you have questions that Megan can address on the airwave here this morning, we'd appreciate your call at 282-2500. Megan, again, her local author here, her book, Understanding Horse Whirls. It's an interesting topic, and I'm kind of anxious to sit down and read it myself. And I'm a guy that doesn't like to read books. I like pictures.
It's okay. You know? It's got lots of pictures.
I see there's lots of pictures in there, so that's good. Nuche Miller, Understanding Horse Whirls. You can order it online, ladies and gentlemen, and we encourage you to do just that. Now, is it available locally if somebody just wants to come? Is there anybody up and down the creek here that has your book on the shelf that they can just go buy the book here locally?
We're working on that. It's just recently out in paperback, so there hasn't been much time to get to that sort of thing. YBARL up in Hot Springs is going to be carrying it. And other than that, there isn't anywhere yet. If anybody would be interested in carrying it, we can sure work something out.
You know, there's a bookstore in Valentine. You need to stop by there. That's a bookstore that needs to carry it.
Yes, it's a great little bookstore.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the man that runs that store, I knew him when I was just a little kid. He and my sister graduated high school together. Uh-huh. So he's much older than me. I'm the baby of the family, you know. Well, Megan, it's a delight to have the opportunity to visit with you here. Now, do you have anything else that you'd specifically like to bring forth here this morning in our little get-together?
I don't think so. I do have a YouTube channel.
Oh, you do?
I do, where I take individual horses, go over them from head to toe, look at the whirls, and I only have a couple horses, so I do need outside horses to look at, or I'm going to run out pretty soon.
Right.
But if anybody is interested, I can look at horses. And I could use horses for the YouTube channel. And
okay, so how do they find the YouTube channel?
It's under Horse Whirls on YouTube.
Okay. And, well, that's interesting. And I think there's a telephone call coming in here, so we'll see if there's a question coming our direction or not here. But this whole horse whirl thing, I'm learning a little something as we go along here this morning, and my mind is an open book on this thing because obviously I'm a broadcaster, not really a great horse person by any stretch of the imagination. I rode horses when I was a young kid quite a little. My dad would get them started, and then I'd ride them to country school and get unloaded a few times. Okay, Rachel, no, I don't have that particular submixer on. You're going to have to talk into that one.
I just want to say to you, author, that Carol, caller just called in, would really like you to get this at Plains Trading Company in Valentine, because she would be the first person to buy your book. And if you need help with that, I have her name and number, and she'd be willing to help you get your book there.
Well, that's great. We were just talking about the bookstore in Valentine. Yes. Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that's good. The power of radio. 33 minutes past the top of the hour, and I have frogs in my throat this morning. We're going to have to, not enough coffee, I guess, and I started the whole coffee thing at about 4:30 this morning. Megan, again, anything else that you'd like to bring forth to the listeners here before we take a little trip back into the Old West?
Just the horse whirls are such a fascinating subject. We see more different ones all the time. There's always something new to discover, something new to learn. Always learning about them. Enjoy that quite a bit. There's so many interesting whirls to look at. There's whirls on the sides of horses' jaws, and those show a bold, calm, confident horse, very friendly. Mule whirls, they're just like horse whirls. Most of them have a low feathered whirl, but that doesn't mean that all mules are introverts. In general, a low feathered whirl means a quiet, withdrawn horse who thinks and is within themselves. But mules can also have We can have double whirls in mules. We can have all sorts of weird whirls in mules. They're not all this quiet, withdrawn sort of an animal.
Right, right. Well, it looks like Rachel is coming in with another question that has been called in.
Yes. Will the book be available in paperback or hardcover? The book is available in paperback now from Amazon. Not hardcover, probably, but paperback. And it is just recently available, 2 weeks now, I think, that it's been available in paperback.
Wow.
You can get that from Amazon.
This is a brand new deal, folks.
Well, it is. It's been available as a downloadable ebook for a while now, while I worked on getting the paper book ready. And as an ebook, it's sold all over the world, mostly English-speaking countries, but also fun places like Portugal and South Africa and some little middle European country.
Wow.
That ends, you know. Right. It's very scary. I looked it up. It was the highest crime rate in the world.
Really?
Yes. Like, oh boy, my book's going there. But yeah, it's sold in all the not English-speaking countries too.
You know, and that's so amazing to me. I have talked with a couple different country music artists, one out of Scotland and another one out of Germany. And I didn't really realize, but again, it's not the world I live in, but I didn't realize how big the horse culture is in the European countries.
Yeah.
It's just gigantic. Blows me away. We're going to take a little trip back into the Old West. The telephone lines continue to light up here, and we're going to see what other kind of questions come forth. If any of you have any questions for Megan Ryman this morning here and understanding horse whirls, you feel free to give us a jingle at 308-282-2500. I'm not going to let her go down the road here for a little bit. We're going to take a quick trip back into the Old West here, a little Old West radio here with Dakota, and that'll give us a chance to take a few additional telephone calls. So if any of you have any questions for this young lady, feel free to give us a jingle, and we'll get the questions to her, and we'll talk with her again right after we take a little Old West radio trip. Does that work for you, Megan?
Yes, it sure does.
Okay. Well, stay with us, listeners, and right now let's saddle up and ride, cowboy.
This is Dakota Livesay chronicling another true story taken from the 1800s, a time known to all as the Old West. Historians disagree about the real name of one of the Old West's best-known pistoleros, and we don't even know him by his real name, but a nickname that, again, historians disagree about how he got it. His story is coming right up.
Go ahead and saddle up, cowboy. We're going for a ride. Chronicle of the Old West is next here on the Twister, and brought to you locally by Literal Construction of Shadron, the Antelope Creek Cafe of Gordon, Bacon Propane of Clinton, and GE Associates of Martin. Go ahead, turn up your radio as we saddle up that old Roman nose broom tail and go back to the 1880s and learn of the Old West and our American cowboy heritage. And we do it each weekday morning here on the legendary Twister. So booger your boots, cowboy. We're going for a ride right after you hear about some very special offers from our Old West radio sponsors.
In need of some dirt work? I just happen to know a man who loves to play in the dirt with his toys. Dana Littrell Construction of Shadron. Excavator and backhoe services. He's got a dozer and a trencher. This man knows how to use them, and he does it well. Call Dan, 430-0177.
It's been a long day and you're wore out. Cooking is just not something you really want to do, but you have to feed the family. Head on into the Antelope Creek Cafe, and everyone in the family will get exactly what they want, and you'll all be happy. Great food is at the Antelope Creek Cafe.
With everything you already have to do, Bacon Propane of Clinton is happy to help you scratch something off your list. Just sign up for their Keep Full program, and then whenever they're in your neck of the woods, they'll top off your propane tank so you don't have to worry about running low or running out. Find out more by calling Bacon Propane at 360-3579.
Many of you will be starting to move the cows closer to home, and that means getting on your trusted four-legged mode of transportation, your horse. Get all your tack at GE Associates of Martin, your professional's choice dealer. Saddles, reins, halters, bridles, saddle blankets, and more.
On October 25, 1921, one of the Old West's best-known pistoleros died. His name was William Barclay Masterson, or was it Bartholomew Masterson? Historians disagree about which is correct, and it seems he changed the story about his name throughout his life. But it doesn't matter because we know him as Bat Masterson. The story of why he was called Bat also varies. Some say it was short for Bartholomew, while others say it was because he would club our bat people over the head with the cane that he always carried. One movie says it was because as a boy, he could shoot flying bats out of the air. Although most of his life he was a dapper dresser and sophisticated person, he didn't start out that way. He grew up in a Kansas homesteader family with little education. As a young adult, he went to Dodge City, where he became a buffalo hunter, one of the dirtiest jobs to be had. This is where legend says he became friends with Wyatt Earp. Bat Masterson later followed Wyatt to Tombstone, and he might have been involved in the OK Corral shootout had Bat not left before the shootout to help his brother. Bat Masterson, along with Wyatt Earp, was one of the very few gunfighters to live to a ripe old age. What most people don't know about Bat is that he spent the last years of his life living in New York City, where he became the sports editor of the New York Morning Telegraph. And that's where he died of natural causes while sitting at his desk. You've just heard another story from Old West Radio. I'm Dakota Livesay.
Old West Radio is a weekday morning feature here on the Twister, where we relive a story from America's Western heritage. Take your Stetson off to our local sponsors, GE Associates of Martin, Bagan Propane of Clinton, the Antelope Creek Cafe of Gordon, and Littrell Construction of Shadron, and join us weekday mornings for a journey back in time to the Old West. Twister listeners, we're going to take a quick time out here for a look at the latest weather forecast. I'm going to switch control to Studio B, and then I'll be back, and we'll continue our visit here this morning with Megan Ryman this morning as we begin to understand horse whirls. Here's Mr. Gallant.
Twister weather.
Mostly cloudy skies today with a 40% chance of rain this afternoon. Look for high temperatures in the upper 50s along with south winds at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Shifting to the west at 10 to 25 and gusting to around 40 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a 70% chance of rain this evening and then a slight chance of rain and snow after midnight. Little or no snow accumulations are expected. Temperatures should fall into the mid-30s with northwest winds at 20 to 30 miles an hour, gusting to around 45 this evening, then decreasing to 15 to 20 with gusts to around 35 after midnight. Sunny, breezy tomorrow with highs in the mid-50s and northwest winds at 10 to 25.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Gallant. The juice in our thermometer stands at 45 degrees. And Twister listeners, just so you know, you horsemen and you horsewomen, with pictures, descriptions, and real-life examples, understanding horse whirls paints a clear picture of what you can tell about the inner workings of your horse by looking at the outside of the body. Now, we have the author of the book in our studios here this morning, Megan Ryman. She goes by the pseudonym, if I want to call it that, I guess, Nuche Miller. And, you know, it was kind of interesting, Megan. A gentleman just stopped in, a trucker, on his way by, and he took a picture of your book.
Yes, that was so much fun.
It is. It just tickled me. And a very nice gentleman here, and he was talking to you a little bit there about mules. And
yes.
I wasn't in on the whole conversation. Seems like there were buttons to push and things to do here, but obviously, it's a topic that's very interesting to those in the horse world, and I just am so delighted that you stopped by to visit with us here this morning. I'll be real honest with you, and I've got a neighbor that lives just to the north of me, just one heck of a nice guy, a man by the name of Dennis Laws, and he sent me a picture. And he's a pretty good old cowboy, this guy, but he just texted me a picture, and he says, ask her about this one.
Okay, let's look here. We have a beautiful dun. I think he must be a dun. It's got some beautiful markings, just gorgeous black stripes on that dun coloring. He has basically a center whirl, it looks like here. A whirl right between the eyes, not too high, not too low. Well,
a little tough to tell on that little text picture, but
a basic center whirl doesn't tell us anything about horses. It shows that there's no extremes in temperament that we can see from the whorl. We have to look at the rest of the head shape. But looking at this horse, he also looks like he has. We don't generally, when we look at a horse's whorls, we don't generally count the whorl at the base of the forelock. All horses have one, and because all whorls show us something, this whorl is going to mean something. We just don't know what yet. But this horse has hidden up there next to that whorl, the forelock whorl, two little whorls on either side of it that I don't think would count as a forelock whorl. Sometimes it gets hard to tell. So a horse with three whorls shows us a left brain extrovert. It's easier to classify whorls by that type because then we have something solid to go by. A high whorl shows an extrovert. A low whorl shows an introvert. A whorl to our right or left looking at them, our right, not their right, shows a right brain horse or a left brain horse. That just that makes it easier for me to classify them instead of listing vague traits that don't really mean a whole lot. We can just put them nicely into grooves and talk about how much of each trait type they show. So this horse with three whorls should make him a left brain extrovert. They're generally quirky, but their owners love them, despite their occasional quirks. Calm, confident, the born broke type. It seems like a nice whorl to have. I've never had one personally.
Okay.
But do you see those high whorls up there?
I do.
They're kind of hidden. But it's... And the whorls...
They can't hear me staring at this picture.
No, you can't. Sorry, trying to think of... the whorls are usually with triple whorls in a triangle shape. But they can be in a straight line, which means not so quiet and born broke. But still, basic left brain introvert, quirky.
Good. Well, listeners, just so you know, I have a copy of the book in hand here. When I get done reading it, I might part with it and give it away on the air, but I'm not going to promise that. Well, Megan, it's been a delight to have you in the studios here, and we're covering some subject matter that I'm not familiar with at all. I'll be real honest with you. But obviously, there are horsemen and women in the listening audience that are quite familiar with it. It's a very interesting subject, and my goodness, there's a lot of pictures in this book.
I had to restrain myself. I could still be writing and adding to it, but you have to declare an ending point at some time. There will probably be another one, because we're always learning, always finding more out about whorls. Always a new and unusual world to find.
Well, there's all kinds of whorls. I had no idea. I mean, I understand the whole cowlick concept, if you will. But, you know, I'm looking at a picture here on page 64, and I'm looking at this...
Oh, chest whorls.
This zipper thing here.
Yes, whorls up the base of the neck are fascinating to me. They can show so many different things. There is a zipper whorl, very narrow, like a zipper. And that shows a horse who will arch nicely over it, usually has a neck that comes higher out of the shoulders. However, if that's a big open whorl instead, like if the hair grows in an outward direction from the center instead of towards the center and it comes down into the chest, that'll show a ewe-necked horse who's heavy on the forequarters, just comes downhill to the withers and won't get off their front quarters and work off the hindquarters as well.
Well, obviously, you're quite familiar with your subject matter here.
I do rather enjoy it, yes.
I can tell that. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And again, folks, there's a little over 200 pages in this book. And these pages are what? This is about five and a half by...
Nine, I think it
nine?
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, great pictures in here and lots of explanation. And this is a book that you horsemen and women need to own and study because it will mean something to you. That's all there is to it. And, of course, for as long as horses and people have shared their lives, there's been a desire to understand the significance of the whorl on a horse's forehead. But there's whorls other places on them, too, and they all mean something. And Megan, actually, Nuche Miller, gets in-depth with this subject matter, and we encourage you to get a copy of her book. And you again, Megan, if you would, tell them how they can come up with this book.
Thank you. It's available on Amazon, Understanding Horse Whorls. Just search for that in books. We have Facebook pages and websites, and you can find us just about anywhere by searching Horse Whorls.
Good enough. And listeners, just so you know, the visit with Megan here this morning, I will be posting that on the radio station's website at twisterradio.com. And you can just click on the free speech zone button a little bit later on this morning. I'll have it posted. And once you get there, just follow directions. And you can listen to the visit again, and she gives you numerous different websites that you can go to. Megan, my time has pretty much run out here, but I do want to thank you in all sincerity for stopping by to visit with us. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this.
I have too, and after I read your book, I think we're going to do it again.
We'll have to get together and look at some horses.
There you go. Okay, Twister listeners, thank you so much for joining us this morning for this special edition of the Free Speech Zone, a public affairs presentation of these two radio stations, where we do our best to provide you fact and opinion for you to consider as you go about your busy day. It's always a pleasure doing business with you, listeners.